And it is I. And ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Mr. Von Posmer. He is the owner of Saminco Technologies, a private corporation that is extremely successful. They make electric traction and propulsion drives for the coal mining industry, as well as hydrogen fuel cell drives for buses. One of his drives holds the land speed record for an electric vehicle at 320 miles per hour, achieved on the Bonneville salt flats. He is really the go-to man with respect to fuels and things of that sort here in this country. Mr. Posmer, the so-called tar sands or oil sands that run from roughly Colorado deep into Canada and contain enormous amounts of oil, they're more properly called bitumen sands, which would indicate to me that it is a more difficult to refine. But it would still be economical to refine that, would it not?
It is. I was up in Fort McMurray in the middle of February, which is a good time to visit Fort McMurray. Mm-hmm. And they, about 2 years ago, and I scooped up some of this stuff, the sand, the raw sand, contains up to about 10% bitumen, as you properly put it. It's not oil, it's bitumen or bitumen. The stories about the Indians use that to, in their canoes, to sort of patch up their leaks. But the stuff is extracted from the sand using steam at about 300 degrees Celsius, and then it is mixed with a solvent and shipped to Edmonton, which is about 300 miles further south. And then it's refined there, and then the solvent goes back up the pipeline and is used over again. But when I was there, it cost $10 Canadian per barrel to produce what is called Canada's sweet crude. And the reason it's called sweet is that the sulfur has been removed. If you remove sulfur from oil, it's called sweet oil. So it's $10. That was a few years ago.
Wow. Well, that...
So these guys are making huge amounts of money right now.
Boy. I just don't understand why we're not... you know, I assume you're aware that the 2007 Energy Act here in the United States forbids our military from using Canadian oil sand products. I don't know why in the world anyone would do that.
I had no idea, but there is nothing can be more insane than legislation that's come out of Washington in the last few years. For example, this ethanol hoax. The ethanol scam is a crime against humankind.
Well, it is. I mean, we've already had the government of Haiti overthrown because of it. Doubling and tripling the prices.
But it's polluting. You know, it uses more water, more pesticide, and so on. But to go back to the nuclear thing that you asked me about.
Yes.
The right now there are 38 reactors being built throughout the world. Not a single one of them being built in this country. And the reason for it is, and as a matter of fact, we only have two applications before the NRC right now. And they're only applications. And the reason for it is that there is some diabolical legislation in place. And it goes like this. Right now we have a gentleman named Dale Klein, who's the chairman of the NRC. And he's a phenomenal person. He's been able to reduce the processing time from about 6 or 7 years to about 42 months.
Yes.
And he is very pro-nuclear, and he's a wonderful person, and we're very glad to have the country is very, very good. We're very blessed to have a person like that. But the problem is that if you, Mr. Liddy, were to get together $3 to $4 billion to build a nuclear power plant, you'd have to get permission to build it from the NRC. It would take 4 years to get it, and once you build the power plant, it takes 3 or 4 years. Then you need an operating license. And the operating license might take 4 or 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a wonderful time for the FOEs, the friends of the, or the foes of the earth, to start all kind of litigation. Mm-hmm. And there's a good example of that, and that is, have you ever heard of the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant?
No, I can't say that.
In Long Island. Well, that was started back in 1989, or it was closed in 1989, after about 15 years of litigation. and had never produced a single bit of electrical energy. Now, across the river, across the Sound, the Wading River Sound in East Shore, you have an identical plant called the, I think it was called the Mill Pond Plant, mm-hmm. identical. It operated for 25 years in Connecticut. It was built for $100 million, and it produced for $100 million. It produced electrical energy for 25 years without any problems. Across the Sound in Long Island, you had the Shoreham plant. It cost $6 billion. This is the reason why you have that one piece of legislation where you need two operating processes or two licenses to operate your plant. Effectively prohibit the building of any more nuclear power plants. Now, I know that Mr. Klein, positions is to see if you can furnish a operating license and a construction license at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys certainly, there's some real heroes out there like Senator Domenici and Craig, Senator Craig. These guys are doing phenomenal work. But unfortunately, they're not getting very far.
And the absurdity is shown by the example of France, which I think gets over 70% of its electrical energy from nuclear.
80% of the energy.
80%. Yeah.
And what is more, they reprocess their fuel too. You know that a reactor, the reactors that we have today are like Model T's. You know they only use up 3% of the fuel. So the spent fuel. It's called waste fuel, but should probably be properly be called spent fuel. It consists of 90% fuel that could be recycled and used again.
Well, we're our own worst enemies on this whole energy business. You've mentioned the hoax of ethanol and all the rest of it. We have a question from a listener who couldn't stay on the phone. It's Mr. Posman. He says that how long does it or will it take to develop coal to liquid technology on a grand scale, and will the so-called King Coal barons interfere? What about the politics of that?
Well, I've met so many King Coal barons, and I think that, first of all, the King Coal barons have realized that they are getting more pro-nuclear. They feel that nuclear energy and coal are actually partners. And this is one thing I've been pushing for the last 5 or 6 years, that we have a common enemy. And the nuclear industry has been sort of seduced by the global warming people to say, hey, nuclear energy doesn't produce any CO2. And I've been telling my friends that this is the wrong thing to do. The people, the global warming people, have no interest in clean energy. Absolutely none. They want the world to use less energy. The coal people have exaggerated the fears of nuclear energy. And basically, should form a partnership. And if nuclear energy were used to enhance the quality of the coal, either by turning it into liquid fuel or better quality carbon powder, we could eliminate a lot of the real pollutants, such as sulfur dioxide and mercury and arsenic that we're spewing into the air. And the CO2, of course, that to me is that's a very, very beneficial gas. We should have more of it. If you look at the history of the world, whenever there's been more CO2, you get more vegetation. It has been a very, very beneficial to the biosphere.
CO2 is certainly not a pollutant. It's what comes out of our mouths when we exhale.
That's right.
And
plants need it. Without CO2, there'd be no life.
Yeah, there'd be no plant life at all, and human life for that matter. There goes agriculture.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So if we were to use nuclear process heat to liquefy coal, there'd be no SO2, no atmospheric pollution in a real sense. But if you're worried about CO2, there'd be no CO2 either in the production of the liquefying of the coal.
Well, I certainly agree with you. We're our own worst enemies on these things, and I want to thank you for bringing this to light and for giving us an extra portion of your time. Folks, my guest has been Bon Pasma. He's the owner of Semenko Technologies. They make electric traction and propulsion drives for the coal mining industry, as well as hydrogen fuel cell drives for buses. He is really superbly knowledgeable on fuels and the propulsion industry. Sir, do you have a website where our listeners can get more information?
Yes, if you go to www.liquidcoal.com.
www.liquidcoal.com.
Yes, there's a presentation that I've been giving to some of the people on the Hill.
Very good. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir, for having me. I really admire you for what you've done, going all the way back to staying loyal to President Nixon. And I used to listen to your show. Unfortunately, in Fort Myers, I haven't listened to you for 2 or 3 years, but I used to love listening to your show.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you.
All right. Bon Pasma, ladies and gentlemen. I come